Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been good to all of us. And I know this because you are here just as I am here. So that's something to be thankful for. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of Philippians, the first chapter, starting at verse number 21, and I shall reread that. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me is by my coming to you again. That was the first Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. This morning we're going to ask the question, why are we here? Why are we here? Before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed because you have blessed us with another new day, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing and giving unto us all the things that we need. Thank you for giving unto us life, health, food, shelter, clothing, and all the things that we need on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we come to thee in prayer this morning, we are humbling ourselves to offer our praises unto your name. Father, we're asking you to bless this congregation this morning, as well as all the congregation of the churches of Christ that are holding up the bloodstained banner of Christ. But we are especially asking for ourselves here this morning. Father, we thank you for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for them, and we pray for all the brethren who have taken a part in this service thus far, and for all of those who shall come from this point on. Father, we pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning because they are sick, or just for working, or for just some reason they're not with us this morning. We pray that they may come out to be with us at the next appointed time. Father, we pray for those who yet might be on their way, that you give them safe passage to this destination. Thank you, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who are leading our world, our elected officials. We just pray, O Lord, that they not make any laws which would hurt or hinder us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Lord, for all of those who are standing on the battlefield this morning. We thank you, O Lord, for our firemen, our policemen, our doctors, our lawyers, our judges, and all of those, Father, who are trying to do the right thing for us and help us to make it through this society in which we live. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to be with each and every member of this congregation this morning. Watch over and keep them and continue to bless them. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Let us all say, amen. Why are we here? Paul brings to mind two thoughts. For me, he says, for me to live in verse number 21 is Christ. But for me to die is gain. He seems to be pointing to the fact that if he dies, he will have something far better than what he has now. He knows that God has a far better place for us after death if we have believed and been obedient to him. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, we can hear these words. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Notice the condition as stated. These things are for them that love him. Those of us who love him can look for a far better place. This morning, we are going to raise the subject, why are we here? I believe we are here to mature. Children of God are like a family, and parents know that they are in charge of maturing their children. But before parents can raise their children, they must grow up themselves. Far too many children are having children while still being too immature to be adults, yet they are forced into being adults, especially parents. With parenthood comes responsibilities. In some areas, and some are not ready for this. This world would be in an even better, worse condition than it is now if adults never matured. Yet some never do. Some never do and never will. There are households where neither the parents or parent ever grow up. Watch verse number 21 of our text at what it says once again. It says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The mindset of the writer is speaking here. He's saying that should be of Christ, that our mind should be of Christ. He should be the principal and the number one ruler of our lives. Every day we should be, as in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18 tells us, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. This is the job of a parent, to mature in Christ and to pass it on to your family. There are even churches, and I know this may sound kind of funny, but there are some churches where members who call themselves Christians have never matured. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse number 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you able to bear it. For ye are yet carnal. There is among you envying and strife and divisions, and you are not carnal, and walk as new. Yes, there are folk who still need to be fed with milk. Some have called themselves believers, yet after 10 or 20 years, they are still not ready for meat. And we can't always blame it on the leaders, the preacher, or the teachers. When we have lessons to be taught, many do not show up for Sunday school on Sunday morning, for Bible class on Wednesday night. Both of them should be full. But yes, there's plenty of seats in our Bible class on Wednesday night, and there are plenty of seats in Sunday morning Bible class as well as Sunday morning worship. We need to be ready, willing, and able to serve the Lord. Isn't this one of the reasons we are still here? I believe it is. We are here to show Christ in us. We are here to live that others may see Christ in our lives. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it tells us we are the light of the world. This lets us know that our life should reflect us as a Christian. Our lives should be as a witness. This is not simply by word, but also by deed. In other words, by the way we live and by the way we talk. Verse 16 tells us to let our light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify, and watch this part, not you, not me, but your Father which is in heaven. Jesus was speaking to the disciples, but the disciples taught us on these matters as well. We are here to show action to our Christianity. I want you to watch James chapter 1 and verse number 22, where the Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I'll tell you something. We cannot fool the Lord. We will only deceive ourselves. In verse number 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a blind man, a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And then in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We are here in order that we should become more than just hearers only, but be doers of the word of God. The man who becomes a doer shall be blessed in his deed. I believe we are here to go and to do. We are to go into the harvest and become laborers for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, we are to pray that we have laborers to reap the harvest of souls that are in the ready, being taught in the right, or ready to be taught in the right way. Now, when you take a farmer and a farmer plants his crop, his harvest is sometimes very large and calls for many laborers. This is the message of Jesus that he's saying in verse 37. He says, "The harvest was plenteous, but our laborers are few." There's still so much work to do that most churches have more empty seats than full seats. This should cause us to think a little deeper. It may even cause us to wonder, why are there more people at a Sunday afternoon sporting event than there are at Sunday morning worship? Maybe we should wonder why people are ready to put out $40 to $200 or more to go to a concert, and then when they do come to church, they put $5 in the collection plate. Yet we say we love the Lord. We go to those same sporting or concert events and put it on the Lord. We'll say, "Child, the Lord got me tickets to go to see the Bears." Yet many still will not come to church on that following Sunday. We are supposed to be happy, and we are to go and serve our Savior. We are supposed to be happy to do this. We are supposed to be happy to do His will. I read something the other day. It was a little church humor, I call it, about church folk. It said a man fell dead in church. And someone said, "Call for the funeral director." And when he arrived, he looked over the church and he asked this question. He said, "Which one am I to pick up?" Is your church this kind of church? Are you waiting around for someone else to start doing what you can be doing yourself? Are we happy to be in the service of the Lord? Happy to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. We are here and we should be trying to do God's work. We need to open our eyes and look. We need to open our hearts up and pray. We need to lift up our feet and go and tell others of Jesus. We need to open our wallets and up and give. And we need to do the work that God has put us here to do. Remember the words of Paul in Philippians 1 and 21, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." But then I want you to notice verse number 22. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." He was thinking of others all the time. And having this confidence, "I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and all joy and faith, for that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for me or my coming to you again." We are here because God has seen fit to leave us here. We are, and we should be happy about it. And we should be working out our own soul salvation in fear and trembling. How many of us would be willing to speak as Paul did in verse number 21 there? He has confidence in knowing that he was living right and being able and being a help to others, and also to live right, to teach them to live right in what he called the joy of faith. In verse number 25 there, where he spoke of the joy of faith, teaching that their rejoicing might be more abundant in Jesus Christ. So I ask the question this morning, why are we still here? Certainly just not so you can show up on Sunday morning and talk, catch up on the latest gossip from the week before, since you haven't seen everybody. Certainly not to just stand around and get in a huddle and talk about how good the week has been for you. Talking about how what happened on your job. Talking about what you did all last week. No, it's here to serve the Lord and to let others see the Lord's light in you. Turn on your light that it may shine. It's time to get busy because time is running out. We need to be encouragement to others that they may see Jesus in us. When I think about what all Paul is saying there, I like verse number 25 there. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith, and that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to see you again. But you notice something? He didn't come to see him to have a social hour. He didn't come to see him to talk about all the things of life that has passed you on by. He came to be encouragement to, he's talking about encouragement to others. In verse number 26 there, he says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for by my coming to you again. Church, I just want to say one thing. If you're not encouraging someone, what are you doing? If you're not encouraging them, you must be a discouragement to them. If you're not encouraging them, what are you doing for them? You know, it's not hard to encourage someone. And I know some think to themselves, how can I be of an encouragement to others? By the way you live. By the way you walk. By the way you talk. Some folk have conversations that even mature adults don't want to hear. Some folk have conversations that I would be ashamed to even listen to. But yet, they call themselves Christians. Yet they say, I'm a believer and I trust in the Lord. And I'll ask the question, what are you trusting in him for? If you are not doing his will, if you are not doing his will, then you must be doing the will of whom? Think on that for a little bit. If you're not doing the Lord's will, whom are you doing the will of? And I can see him, the other one, Satan, standing over in the corner right now with his towel of victory, waiting to wipe the sweat from your brow. But nevertheless, we're here because we need to be serving God. And as I look out on the pews this morning, see, I get a different perspective when I'm standing here than you get when you're sitting there. Because you would have to turn all the way around in order to see. But I can see all out there. And I can see the empty pews. And I ask myself the question, why are the pews so empty? And I can blame it on the leaders of the congregation. I can blame it on the preachers of the congregation. I can blame it on myself. But I don't take that responsibility. Because if the Bible won't get you in here, tell me what will. If the Bible won't, if you won't hear the truths of the Bible, then what will you hear the truths of? And I know there are many of you that like to watch the televangelists on TV. And you'll come to church here, and you'll say to somebody in church, you know what brother, what Pastor so-and-so said on the morning show this morning? And yet, you will not offer a word of encouragement to that same person you may be talking to. You'll talk about something else completely rather than encouragement. And you know, we need to encourage each other more. And there are some people who might think that being an encouragement to others means you have to join their side. No, you don't. It just simply means you have to be able to give them a word from the Word of God. Give them something to chew on all week. Give them something to bite on all week. Give them something to remember what thus saith the Lord. And you know what? Just by you saying an encouraging word to someone, that same person may come up to you and say to you, I want to go to church with you. I want to go to church because I want to see what this is all about. I want to know what this is all about. We need to be on an encouragement trip, if you will. We need to encourage. And don't think that because I'm in church with you, I don't need encouragement as well. You can encourage me, and I can encourage you. Because I go to church, it doesn't mean I'm encouraged all along. The preacher needs encouragement sometime. The elders need encouragement sometime. The deacons need encouragement sometime. The bench member, the pew member needs encouragement sometime. Encourage one another. And then you'll understand as I go back through the scriptures again, where Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he knows is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all you all your for your furtherance and joy of faith. But that rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He's coming again, and Jesus is coming again. In church, you ought to be encouraged to know that there is something far better if you have been a believer and a follower of the Lord. If you have been obedient to his will, there's a place that's far better than what we have now. I know none of us want to die, but sometimes we have to look at the fact of the matter. And the fact of the matter is that we are all going to die one day. And we need to be ready when we die, because after death comes what? The judgment. And after the judgment, that determines where we shall spend an eternity. And spending an eternity in hell is not a good life to have lived and fought the battle to go to. It's better to go to heaven. And I say unto you this morning, as I bring this message to a close this morning, I want to thank God for leaving me here, that I may be of encouragement to somebody. I don't know if I'm encouraging anybody in here, but I'm trying. I don't know if anybody in here has been encouraged by something I've said or something I've done over the years, but I want to be an encouragement to somebody along this pilgrim life. I want to be of encouragement to someone else who may take something that I said. And I just appreciate so much when somebody tells me something that I said, repeat something that I said, and tell me that I heard what you said. But I tell you what, church, you can be an encouragement to others as well. You can be an encouragement to others while you're yet walking this earth. While you're yet walking this earth, encourage somebody. Call, pick up the phone and call somebody and just let them know, I missed you at church on yesterday. I missed you at church on last week. And if you want to talk about it, I'm here for you. You don't have to open up the conversation. Just let them know that you miss them and encourage them to come back the following next Sunday. Or when you call somebody when they're sick, one of the worst things you want to ever do is talk about you knew somebody that had the same illness as them, but they died. You don't want to do that. You want to encourage them to hopefully get better. Encourage them to look forward to the Lord for their blessing. And even pray with them, if you will, that they may know that this call is a call of encouragement, not a call of rejection or dejection. Let them know that God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, you ought to learn by now that I'm going to say that somewhere and while I'm up there. So please repeat it with me. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And He is good. If you don't believe He was good, try going back to where you were at last night without Him. And see if you can get up without Him. See if you can stand up without Him. See if He'll keep the roof over your head without Him. See if He'll give you food, shelter, and clothing without Him. God is good to us, and we ought to be happy to say so. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Look at your neighbor and say, God is good. God is good. And you know something? In your walk of encouraging someone else, don't forget to mention the church to them. Don't forget to mention the church to them. And even if you're dissatisfied with the church, encourage them to come anyway. Because you don't like what's going on, don't mean they won't like what's going on. Encourage somebody to come to church. Encourage somebody to be a part of the Lord's service. And I'll tell you what, if you come out to the Lord's service, even if you don't get but one thing out of the service, you've gained. If you learn one thing that you didn't already know, you've gained. If you learn one thing that you did know but you need a refresher course in it, you've gained. Didn't Paul say, for me to live is gain? To live is Jesus Christ is gain. You know, some of us like to pick out things. See if I got enough time to run this thought by you. God has left us here to serve Him. He didn't leave you here for your own pleasure. He left us here to serve Him and to be obedient to Him. And some of us think that because I'm living, I ought to just go out and do whatever I want to do because I don't have that much time in this world. But you got enough time to serve God in spirit and in truth. Get up on Sunday morning and come out to church service. Get up on Sunday morning and come meet your brothers and sisters and have a smile on your face and a prayer in your heart to give unto them if it need be. Then think on these things, as the Bible says. We need to be encouraging to one another most of all. We need to, a new commandment that Jesus gave us, He said, to love one another as I have loved you. And you can't love me if you got hatred for me. And somebody told me one time, well, it didn't say that I had to like you. It said that I had to love you. Well, the Bible does tell you to love one another, to love your neighbor as you have loved yourself. But I tell you something. It's not good if you tell me on one hand that I hate you, but on the other hand, I love you. Somewhere it's just not right in there. You got to make up your mind. And I know you don't love the man standing out on the corner selling drugs in front of your house. You got to hate his actions, but you can love him. You can love him to the point where you might just walk up to him and start a conversation with him one day. I'm not encouraging you to do that, but you just might get up the nerve and ask the Lord in prayer to give you the boldness to speak to him and speak the words of God to him. And you never know. God may have left them here to become a spokesman for him. But he just needed a little encouragement along the way. Encouragement is a powerful tool. Why am I here? I'm here to serve God in spirit and in truth. I'm here to love my neighbor. I'm here to love one another. I'm here to be a good person. And being a good person doesn't make you a righteous person. There's a difference. A good person may be good because he goes to work each and every day and he takes care of his family. But a righteous person also gets them out to church each and every Sunday morning. A righteous person will teach God and respect God and be obedient to the Lord's will. A good person may just be a good person because they go to work, like I said. But I'll tell you one last thing before I close here. When you got up this morning, I'll speak of me. When I got up this morning, the first thing I thought about is, thank you, Lord. Not just for waking me up, but allowing me to get up. And you know, when you throw that first leg out of the bed, sometimes you have to give it a moment to catch up to the knee, you know. But you have to think about how good God has been to you. That he woke you up, number one. That he allowed you to get up, number two. And that he kept you sleeping and slumbering during the night. As I often tell you, you didn't wake yourself up this morning. There was a force and a God that stood over you and watched over you and woke you up this morning. There was something more. So you ought to consider this when you ask that question of yourself, why am I here? I'm here because God seen fit to leave me here. And I ought to be thankful and serve him and work out my own soul's salvation in fear and trembling. If this be your desire, I'm going to offer the invitation. Now you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you've already taken these steps and you need to come to God to ask for forgiveness and ask the church for prayer, you can do that as we stand and sing the song of invitation.